Ramari Morti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paraman Pamanyo Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse 39, 40, 41, and 42, they can be considered as one group, text 39 through 42. They explain how Krishna is the basis of everything, or the basis of all existence, which includes, you know, the incarnations, the three modes of nature, etc., Brahman. So this verse, translation, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna, and the different avatars in the world, in the forms of Rama, Sringa, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. So here Lord Brahma is establishing that from his realization, from his understanding, that Krishna is the original form of the Lord, and all other forms and expansions and avatars are expanded from him, and moreover they're also contained within him. So this verse explains Krishna is the source of all incarnations. All incarnations of Godhead are his plenary expansions, Kala Niyamena. What is it? Kala Niyama. So they're all Kalas, they're all expansions or portions of Krishna. Purport. Krishna's subjective portions, as the avatars Ram, etc., appear from Vaikuntha, and his own form, Krishna, manifests himself with Braj in this world, from Goloka. The underlying sense is that Krishna Chaitanya, identical with Krishna himself, also brings about his appearance, the direct manifestation of Godhead himself. In other words, Krishna personally appears. Lord Chaitanya, who is non-different from Krishna, also personally appears, excuse me, in Kali Yuga, with his complete spiritual realm of Navadvipa. So all the other avatars that come in this world, including Ram, Nisringa, Das Avatar, Kurma, Vamana, etc., they're all expansions. And it's explained that when Krishna comes, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Govinda himself, it comes directly from the highest, topmost planet in the spiritual world, Braja Gokul. But the other avatars, like Ram, etc., it's explained that they're coming into this world from the Vaikuntha platform, or specifically from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. That's what the Acharyas explain. That the Das avatars, etc., come through Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. There's a long chart here about all the different avatars, and I don't so much want to go into all that because it's already explained. But there's a couple points. And we see in the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a whole discussion of the different expansions of Krishna. Purusha avatars, Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars, Yuga avatars, Shaktivesha avatars, etc. So, what I thought is interesting is, because we are worshippers of Krishna, at least most of us are, and it's important for us to, in order to establish our faith on a very strong foundation, is to understand and not be confused about the position of Krishna as the Swayam, or the original form of Bhagavan. Because if you meet Ram Bhaktas, they will challenge you, saying that Ram is actually, he is God. Or they may say Lord Narayan or Lord Nisringadev. So then you have to have some ground to stand on. So there we have our basis of our Shastras, but then there's also some very key points of difference between Krishna and all the other avatars. So the verse that's often quoted, because Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedas, then he summarized all the Vedas in Vedanta Sutra and codified them and condensed them. And then he wasn't satisfied, so then he finally wrote his piece de resistance, or his final summary and presentation of everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there in the first canto, chapter 3, text 28, he says, Ette Chamshikala Pumsha, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He says that Krishna, he is the Swayam, he is the original form, he's the Purna avatar, he's the complete avatar. But yet, we see that there is some very close similarities between Ram and Krishna. In fact, even Lord Nisringadev. In Bhagavat Amrita Kana by Vishnu Chakravartipad, and in other places also in Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, explains that of all the different avatars, there's three very special ones, and they're known as Paravasta forms of the Lord. So these are this form of Krishna, Ram, and Nisringadev. They are called Paravasta avatars of the Lord, or Paravasta forms, and they're also called Sadaishvarya Purna Bhagavan. Sadaishvarya Purna, if you know this term, Sadaishvarya. That these three forms of Bhagavan have the complete opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Nisringa Bhagavan, they all have the same opulences, because all three of them are called Sadaishvarya Purna Bhagavan. As opposed to other forms like Kurma and Vamanadev and the different Das avatars, they're not in this category. They are Guna avatars, or they're Leela avatars, or they're Yuga avatars, etc. But, of course, even when you look at these three, then there's some differences. First of all, is that Krishna, he is the source. He is the source of all the other avatars. Even the Sringa and Ram, as this verse mentions, Ram Adi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan. Ram Adi. So Govindam, Krishna, Damodar, he is the original. Beginning Adi, he says, Ram Adi Murti Shu. Beginning with the form of Ram, Ram Adi Murti Shu. Beginning with Ram and all other incarnations, they're all simply expanded forms of Krishna. Although Ram and the Nisringadev are invested with the full Sadaishvarya Purna of Krishna. So therefore they're called Paravasta Avatar. The analogy that's used is that like a candle. If you have one original candle, but that candle is the original flame. So there's so many other candles there, but they're not giving off any light until they're lit by the candle that's lit up. So Krishna, the form of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he's the source, he's the light, he's the brilliantly burning candle, and by his touch, by the touch of Krishna, all the other avatars receive their power or enlightenment. So Krishna is sometimes called Sarva Avatari, that all the avatars are within him. And we see that in Krishna Leela, he often displays, he shows his forms of these avatars. Does anyone know another one? I just see if you know the difference between Ram, between Krishna and all the other avatars. The point is that unlike all the other avatars, Krishna and Krishna alone can give liberation. So Jiva Goswami cites the example of because we want to understand this point. So you keep this point in mind, that Krishna, there's two things that distinguish Krishna. Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Damodar Shamsundar, he can give prema, he gives prema to his devotees, Braja prema or Radha Govinda prema, in the case of Lord Chaitanya, same thing. And not only can he give prema to his devotees, but he also can give liberation. So now, if you come into Satya Yuga, the first, we have Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Right? So Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The Hiranyaksha was killed by Hiranyaksha was killed by Varaha. But he didn't get liberation. Now, Hiranyakashipu was killed by Nisringa. Nisringa is one of these Paravasta avatars. He's Sadaishvarya Purna. Ram, Nisringa, and Krishna are the same. But the difference is that Hiranyakashipu didn't get liberation from Nisringadev. Then he came again they came in Treta Yuga, and then the Lord killed them in the form of Ram, and the demon took the form of Ravana, right? Ravana and Kumbhakarna. So they were killed, but Ram didn't give them liberation in Treta Yuga either. And then they came again as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And because when the demons were in the form, when Hiranyaksha was there, Hiranyakashipu, they didn't think that Nisringadeva was God, Varahadeva was God. They didn't think that. In fact, he thought it was just some strange phenomenon when he saw this lion jump out of the column. He had no idea it was God, that Nisringadeva is God. And then, so Nisringadeva didn't have the power to liberate him. He didn't exhibit that power. But when they came, in Krishna's time, in Dwapara Yuga, then Shishupal, he understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God, and he was always chanting the Lord's name and always thinking of him out of envy. So he was killed by the Lord Sudarshan Chakra, and he attained liberation, Suyuja Mukti, or Brahman liberation. So this is the point that Jiva Goswami explains, that Krishna and Krishna alone gives liberation to those, can give liberation and does give liberation to the demons that he kills. No other avatar or form of the Lord does. And Krishna alone can give love of Godhead. And he does distribute love of Godhead in the form of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why in the purport, it's mentioned that they're identical. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we think of this verse, about this verse from Adi Murtishu, then the underlying sense of this verse is that Krishna Chaitanya is also that same personality of Godhead, who can give liberation to the demons he kills and give prema. And Lord Chaitanya's case, he's the Audarya avatar. He's extremely generous and magnanimous. So whereas Krishna would kill the demons with his chakra and merge them into his effulgence, Brahma Suyuja Mukti, but when Krishna came and appeared as the combined avatar, Radha and Krishna came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he didn't kill any demons. He blessed them with prema. Although he would sometimes show his different features. The chakra came out from Lord Chaitanya to show that he is the Sarva Avatari. But he didn't kill Jaghai and Madhai. He gave them Krishna prema. So not only he didn't even give them Suyuja, he gave them, so he's most merciful, more merciful even than Krishna. So these are two points to understand. And then another point that Krishna has all the avatars within him. He's a Sarva Avatari. And this was displayed at different times during his Leela. He would show that all these avatars are in me. When Brahma stole the cows and boys, the calves and boys, then Krishna expanded into all these Narayan forms, looked like super soul. Then once Krishna was playing in Chatikar with Sridham, and Sridham said, oh, you know, you're supposed to be Narayan and Vishnu, and you're all the avatars are within you. Well, if I become Garuda, can you become Vishnu? So Sridham turned into Garuda, and Govinda turned into Vishnu. And sat on Sridham's shoulders, and they flew around in the air. And there's a temple there called Garuda Govinda. You ever saw? Out there by the, not very far from the gas station, Chatikar Road, there's a turn. How many seen that deity, Garuda Govinda? The deity is called Garuda. Garuda is an eagle, and Govinda is Krishna. So Vishnu is Krishna standing, it's like a Vishnu form standing on top, this black stone standing on top of this Garuda. Anyway, it's a very, very old and special temple. So then, once Krishna was in Sheshashayi,
the gopis were joking with Krishna, and they said, oh, so we heard from some Brahmins that you're the super soul, or you live on some planet in this universe, a planet of milk. There's a spiritual Vaikuntha planet in this material world called Shiradakshay Loka. And you live there floating on this kheer, on this ocean of milk. Is that true? He said, of course. How would you would doubt such a thing? And they said, well, you know, seeing is believing. Right? We've heard that before. So the gopi said, you can prove it. Because we know you talk a lot and you boast a lot, but you're all talk and no show. And the other day you came here saying how you beat everybody in wrestling. This is in Bandiravan. And you said you beat Subal and Sridham and everyone. But let's see you beat Radharani. So of course they had a wrestling match there in Bandiravan. So they know that Krishna's always boasting and he says he's this big and he's only this big and like that. So when he said that, they said, show us, prove it to us. So they said, all right. So then there's this whole kind of a depressed area there, and he filled the whole area up. It was a lake, and he turned the whole lake into milk. Then he went out there and he just laid down, and then Balaram manifested there as Anantashesh, all the beautiful white coils of Anantashesh. And Krishna's just lying there resting on the serpentine body of Balaram, Anantashesh. And that's a place called Shiradakshai, or it's called Sheshashayi. Sheshashayi means Krishna Shayi sleeping, like Shayanarti. Krishna sleeping on Anantashesh. So then another time, gopis, they went to Kamyavan and they were playing with Krishna. And they said, you know, we heard and we know that you're very cruel to women, because we know how you mistreat our Swamini and how sometimes you make her angry and in a sulky mood, and you go with those other phases of the moon, and you move with them. So we know that you're very cruel. In fact, we've heard from the Brahmanas that in your previous lives you were also very cruel to women. It's known when you were in Gokul, when you were a little baby, some lady came to be your nursemaid, and she was a beautiful lady and offered her breast, and you killed her. Cold-blooded. You just killed her dead. And then that's not... So we know you're very mean and you treat ladies very bad. And we heard in your previous incarnation also you had a green color and you were Ram, and some beautiful girl came to you and proposed that, please, you're a king, you please accept me. And you just mercilessly cut off her nose and ears and sent her home crying. And so we know. And then not only that, then later on you got your kingdom back, then there were some public problems and people were criticizing your wife, so your wife was pregnant with two children. You banished her to the forest to some hermitage. So we know that you're a very, very cruel person, very, very cruel hearted person towards ladies. And anyway, we can't help it, we love you. But is it really true that in your previous, you know, incarnation you were here as Ram? He says, certainly. Of course. You would doubt such a thing? And then the gopi said, well, is it true that you made some bridge? You made rocks float on the water? And I mean, this is like a little bit too much. I mean, you are always boasting and exaggerating, so I think this is an exaggerated folk story that some Brahmins tell, and I don't believe. I mean, we throw a rock in the Jamuna and it goes bloop. You know, like someone leaves Krishna consciousness. They go bloop. They go bloop. So we don't see any rocks are floating. He said, you can show. And he said, yeah, of course I can show. And there was a big lake there. So then Krishna, by his Yoga Maya, Purnamasi's arrangement, Krishna took all these rocks and he threw all these rocks, these huge boulders, he threw them out in the lake. And they were all floating. And he says, you see? This is the bridge, Setubandha. This is the bridge, just as I made a bridge to Lanka to rescue my wife Sita from the hands of the demon, Ravana. So this is Setubandha, and I am Ram. And then Krishna turned himself into Ramachandra with a green color. And he says, so, and you are all the monkey soldiers. So let's cross the bridge of Setubandha and rescue Sita. Jai Shri Ram! Jai Shri Ram! So, in this way, Krishna was showing that all the avatars are within him. So that self-same Krishna came in Kali Yuga 500 years ago in Navadvipa Dham, and he also is the Sarva Avatari, Swayam Bhagavan, Purna Bhagavan, complete form of Bhagavan, Sadeshvarya Purna Bhagavan, Paravasta Avatar. And he also showed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed so many of the forms to each of his devotees. He showed himself as Ram to Murari Gupta, and even showed unique forms that no one has ever seen before. The Sudbuj form, six-arm form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ram and Krishna.
showed the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri. The once in Mayapur, it was Nrisimha Chaturdasi, and Mahaprabhu and all the devotees were hearing Bhagavad Puran from Garadhar, and then they were immersing themselves in the mood of Nrisimha Bhav, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered that previous incarnation, and then he jumped up in the mood of Nrisimha Dev with this Ugra Bhav, with this, you know, terrible, ghastly mood, and he grabbed a big log and he started running through the streets. I'll kill the demons! I'll kill the demons! And everyone's running away. Help, help! And then one time he came to Murari Gupta's house, and he was in Murari Gupta's house, and then Murari Gupta was studying some Bhagavad Pad, and it was around Brahadev's appearance day. And then all of a sudden Lord Chaitanya went and he picked up a huge brass pot full of water, and he put it on the end of his nose like this, and then he turned in Vraha, he became Vraha Avatar, and Murari Gupta was amazed. So in so many ways, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one after the other, he showed himself as Ram and Narayan and Vishnu and Krishna and all different avatars. So this is very special features that Krishna alone is the Sarva Avatari, and although Vishnu Chakravartipad, he categorizes the Ram and Nrisimha and these all three together. Nrisimha and Ram, they don't manifest these. They have these potencies latently. They're also called Sadaishvarya Purna Bhagavan, but they don't manifest all the different qualities and attributes that Krishna does, such as giving prema to the people or the devotees and the innocent, or is liberating the demons. Well, showing and manifesting all the different avatars. When Nrisimha comes, he's Nrisimha. When Ram comes, he's Ram. He doesn't show any other features. So Krishna and Krishna alone is the supreme form, Paravasta, avatar. Throughout the Vedic scriptures, it repeatedly describes Krishna with the word Swayam. You never hear a description Swayam Ram or Swayam Nrisimha. Only Swayam, the word Swayam, it refers to Krishna. The Bhagavatam refers to Krishna's original form of Godhead, as Narada Muni also explains in 10th Canto, 87:46. So these Paravasta forms, as I mentioned, Sadaishvarya Purna avatars, they have the six opulences of God, all beauty, all power, strength, renunciation, knowledge, wealth. They're perfect and complete. But from Krishna, Krishna's considered the original lamp, and he lights up all the other ones. So now the other point that's brought up is this interesting topic in relation to these avatars, is these different animal forms of the Lord. We know of Kurma, Matsya and Kurma, and half lion, half man, Narahari, and then there's the dwarf. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati presents a rather interesting idea to explain this. Because we have read in Bhagavatam and other places that just as the living entities take on and assume different forms of body, and they take on 8,400,000 species of life, the Supreme Personality of God, it also appears, He appears in every single species of life. He appears in every single species of life to attract those living entities who have become covered with that type of abominable body, to attract them to take up the process of spiritual life, or become, let's say, to attract them somehow back to Godhead. Exactly how that's gone about is not clear, but this is the statements in the Shastras. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so merciful that when the living entity becomes so opposed to God consciousness, and his pure God consciousness becomes so covered to the extent that he wants to enter the body of a fish. A fish is considered to be very, very covered consciousness in the aquatic species. Then the Lord, He also agrees to become a fish, a transcendental fish, divine fish, and is known as Matsya. And when the living entity, in his consciousness, when he evolves a little bit, but he's still severely covered over by material attraction and illusion and ignorance, but he's a little bit more evolved in consciousness, then the living entity takes on the body of a kurma. Is it right? The second avatar is kurma. Keshavadrita kurma sharire. Is it right? So, then the Lord, he agrees, he's so compassionate that he also becomes, he takes a form like that as a turtle or a tortoise, and he's known as Korma, avatar. And somehow he bestows mercy to all those living entities in the form of kormas. Right? Then, the living entity, his consciousness evolves. There's an evolution of consciousness. And as the consciousness evolves, then the living entity, as he's moving closer towards unfolded consciousness or blooming consciousness, he assumes a suitable body, a more, you could say, advanced body to realize and express that more developed degree of consciousness. This is all the conception presented by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So from the fish, which has no backbone and is considered the least developed physical body, then the next body you have is a turtle. And a turtle has some shell but no real backbone and not very developed. Then the next incarnation is Sukara. Sukara Rupa. So Sukara is not an amphibian or say an aquatic species, but a Sukara means a pig. So Krishna takes the form of Varaha when a living entity's consciousness is so advanced to that point to be beastly consciousness or animal consciousness. A pig is certainly a very much in the lower, you know, status of life. His consciousness, he's pretty much aware of things on the earth and in the earth. He eats his foodstuffs from the earth, or he digs up the earth. So then it goes a little bit further. Then you have someone, when the living entity is not quite, you know, he's not, you could say, he's not a human being, but he's not a beast either. So he's like half and half. So then Narahari. So Narahari, where Krishna appears as Narasimha, he's half man, half lion. So he's beast. He's like half beast or animal, but half man. So he's not very civilized. So that represents what you might call the kind of the Adivasis, or you can say aboriginal people. They live in the jungle. They're kind of like animals in their behavior, and their consciousness is not so evolved. Their awareness and understanding of God is very finite, it's very small. Now the living entity's consciousness evolves a little more, and it becomes human being, becomes a human being, but not a fully developed human being. So he's not a mature, fully developed human being. He's kind of a dwarf. He's kind of a little bit retarded type, a little like dwarf. He's not. Then the Lord comes as Vamanadeva. Then the next thing, and then is Bhrigupati. Bhrigupati is, anyway, it goes on, he explains this. So the whole point is that there's different, the Lord appears in these different forms. And the particular point I want to address is the animal forms of the Lord. Where the Lord appears as Korma, or as Varaha, or as Narasimha. So I just read some notes from Lago Bhagavatamrita, which are very interesting. All these animal incarnations of the Lord have Vaikuntha planets where you can worship them in that self-same form. Then the question is asked, does Lord Narasimhadeva appear in Vaikuntha planet in the same way he does on earth as half man and half lion? And the answer is yes. Narasimha looks the same in Vaikuntha abode. He has a beautiful lion's face. But he doesn't have four arms like Narayan. Then the question is, what about Korma, the Korma avatar? Yes, in Vaikuntha planet, the Lord looks like a tortoise or a turtle, but he has four arms. Yes, Matsya is also there as a transcendental fish in his Vaikuntha abode, but he's very beautiful and he's swimming in the water. So if you get Sarupya Mukti, if you worship Korma, Sarupya means the self, the same form. If you're really attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna as a turtle, and you have a nice poster of that, and you wear a t-shirt of that, like people wear these Nisringa t-shirts, or you have a nice t-shirt of I love Korma, you know, then you can go to Korma Loka, and you can join him, you can swim around, like the turtles in Yamuna, you know, or at Radhakund. Or Lalita-kun. Lalita-kun has quite a collection of turtles over there. Ramachandra has the same form on earth as in his Vaikuntha abode. And I'll get to that. And it actually explains that there's three levels of Vaikuntha. Ramachandra has the same form on earth as he does in his Vaikuntha abode of Ayodhya. So, because that's in a very high part of the spiritual world, very, you can say, the most advanced or the most transcendental. It's like perfect, more perfect, most perfect. We say Dwarka is, Krishna is perfect in Dwarka, but he's more perfect. It's called Purnatam and Purnatara. He's more perfect in Mathura, but he's most perfect in his features Govinda or Gopinath in Vrindavan. So the spiritual world also has these different divisions. There's lower Vaikuntha, you know, it's like lower class neighborhood, right? You live in a lower class neighborhood by the railroad tracks and the shipping docks, or you live in a middle class neighborhood, or you live in a high class neighborhood. So there's lower class Vaikuntha, there's middle class and high class, topmost class, MVT, right? So Ramachandra, his section is MVT. He's in the high class section of Vaikuntha, which is just one of the petals, just a little bit beyond Dwarka. There's a lotus flower of the centermost planet of Goloka Vrindavan. So just beyond Dwarka, there's another little petal of the lotus is Ayodhya. So when he's here, he has four arms and two arms in this planet, and there he has four arms and two arms. Generally they say four arms. So in his... in other words, Ram's planet is above Narayan Loka. Ram has two arms. But his planet is much higher than the Vaikuntha planets of Narayan and Vishnu forms, where Vishnu has four arms. Krishna, Ram, and Nisringa are all para-avatars, or as I mentioned, paravasta. But all the other avatars are amsas, or expansions from Garbhadakshay Vishnu. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita commentary, Jiva Goswami says, "In Nisringa has an eternal form in the spiritual world." In the three divisions of Vaikuntha, I mentioned that already. Sometimes devotees think, well, because sometimes there's discussion, they say that in the Vaikuntha, the Lord has forearm feature. In our first canto, Bhagavatam, if you look at the painting there, you'll see, and you have all these Vaikuntha planets are there. And there's little pictures there. It says Sri Nisringa, Sri Padmanabh, Sri Trivikram, and it's all little Vishnu forms. Right? Conch shell and chakra and club and lotus flower. So one might think that, well, all these animal forms, they have beautiful Vishnu forms on their planets. And then when they come here for some particular lila, then they display these animal forms. But this isn't what the opinion of our acharyas are telling. Jiva and Rupa Goswami, they tell us that, and others, that they have those same forms, that they're like that. They're very, very beautiful. Just like once one acharya was asked, do they have pigs in the spiritual world? Because we see pigs here. And then, or I think it was Prabhupada was asked. And Prabhupada said, yes, they have, but they're very beautiful. Like someone was asked if they have buffaloes in the spiritual world. And they said, of course they have, but they're a little more lively. They're a little more lively than the ones we have here. And they're a little more beautiful. Upananda, Nanda Maharaj's brother, has whole herds of those buffalo. And they make very nice yogurt for the pleasure of Krishna. Any questions? There's an interesting point. It says that, one part of the note, which I didn't read, it says that Krishna comes first and creates a bhava in a devotee, but he exists eternally as a boar, a turtle, etc. So, it's back to my original point, the t-shirts, and that the seed is there, I guess. What are you saying? If the seed is there for these particular devotees, And then, but the actual, the Krishna creates the bhav. Krishna creates the bhav in the heart. Just like Prabhupada was asked, can you change your ras? Prabhupada said, yes, you can. You can change your ras. Yayatamam prapadyante. You may be designated in one thing, but you can, Krishna, seeing your intensity of your practice and desire to be something else, he can also accommodate you in that way. Because it's all awarded, it's all, the whole thing is mercy. And the revelation and details of the Sarupa are revealed by the Lord's Sarup Shakti anyway. So he's not a machine, he's free to make alterations or changes according to his will, as in relationship with the personal desire and bhajan of the devotee. Prabhupada said, yes, you can change your ras, but generally people don't. So those, to follow your line of questioning, if those people have a particular seed for karma bhav or whatever bhav, but somehow they're attracted to the Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the divine teachings of our acharyas, they may forsake the development of their that particular seed form and develop a form for suitable service to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to relish and taste and a particular mood of Radharani's love, but also to broadcast Ragmarg Bhakti. But he also, there's Ragmarg Bhakti in Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras, and also in Sakya Ras. And Dasya Ras is included already in the others. So, he has so many followers coming from Nityananda and Gadadhar. They're all in the Gaudiya family. It's not like you can't be a Ram Bhakta and follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can also be a Ram Bhakta and follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he's the Dharma, he's the Yuga Acharya. He's the Yuga Avatar for the sage, and he's introducing a process. So you want to realize, your Nitya Sarup with Ramachandra or Narayan or Vishnu, then you'll still come to the same point. Take advantage of Narayan's merciful form, and Ram's merciful form is Gauranga, Nitya and Gauranga. And take advantage of the Yuga Dharma that they're broadcasting, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and take advantage of this process of Ragmarg Bhakti, which is a very quick way to develop your attraction and attachment and revelation of your eternal relationship with whomever your particular God is. So this is the way for, instant enlightenment. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, you see, he had so many followers that were in Sakya Ras, so many followers in Vatsalya Ras, so many followers in Dasya Ras, so many followers that were Ram Bhaktas and Vishnu Bhaktas and Narayan Bhaktas, etc., etc. Acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they said that in Kali Yuga there'll only be one religion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's religion, this Prem Dharma, Vishnu Prem, Vaikuntha Prem. If you only follow Vaidhi Bhakti, then you go to Vaikuntha. If you follow Vaidhi Bhakti mixed with Rag, then you go to the outer part of Goloka. And there's all these different explanations by Vishnu Chakravarti and others. So all of that merciful, that mercy to follow bhajan comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And practically we see, when you go to Kumbh Mela or these other huge functions of all sadhus from all the Char Sampradaya, etc., everyone is picking up the idea that Nam Sankirtan is the way to go. I went in 89 to Kumbh Mela, and there was a few people here and there doing Nam Sankirtan. I went in 95, and every single camp is either personally all their members are doing Nam Sankirtan, or they hire some Bengali group in order to attract people. They're understanding that this Nam Sankirtan is actually the Dharma for this age. And through that, mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one will realize their particular sthayi bhav, or eternal devotional mellow in relation to a particular form of the Lord and a particular holy Dhamma of the Lord.